Well, I'm going to share with you today about worship. And I want to talk specifically about worship in an arena that maybe we haven't seen before or talked a lot before. But I want to talk about learning to worship on the desert side of the Jordan. Now, if you don't know what that means, the Israelites were rescued by the miraculous intervention of God from Egypt, and they went in out of Egypt, and out of Egypt across the Red Sea was a desert land. And it was about a 30-day journey from there to the promised land that God was going to give them, but because of their rebellion and sin and mistakes and bad choices, it took them 40 years. How long?
40 years.
That's a long time to wander around a desert. And they ate the same food every day for 40 years. They had manna. I know some of you kids complain because we just had that. Well, about 40 years, the same thing. We're going to have you hear my stomach growl. Is it working? Oh. And they wandered around the desert for 40 years. And in that time, God taught them and prepared them. And I want to share with you that that is when real worship comes, is we worship him in the midst of our dilemmas, not when we have a victory. That's true worship. Worship is not because, worship is who. Worship is not when you have a victory, worship is on the way to victory. And we often are very grateful for things that happen, but I think we lose a little bit of sight of really what true worship is. Now, in the tabernacle of the Old Testament, they had kind of a model, if you will, of what our connection to God and communication with him was like. The first thing is you came from the outside and you went into the inner court. And that is where you have thanksgiving. Anybody thankful today? Anybody thankful you had a bed to sleep in last night? Thankful you had food to eat today and yesterday? Anybody thankful you had clothes to put on today? We're thankful you had clothes to put on today. Are you thankful that you'll have food yet today? It's a way to get here. We have many things to be thankful for. Someone should say amen.
Amen.
Many things to be thankful for, and it's appropriate to give thanks. Sometimes you should just sit in your house and look around and just spend some time. So, oh, God, I thank you for that book. Oh, I thank you for that dresser. I remember when we bought that. I'm thankful for that. And man, your list, I mean, you'll be there a while. Because there's so many things it's appropriate to be thankful for. And notice the word is thanksgiving. It's not thanks thinking or thanks meditating. You have to give it. Thanksgiving. Then we move from the outer court unto the inner court. And that next level or the next step of our communication and connection to God is praise. And praise is telling others and communicating about what God's done for you. Has God done some good things for you?
Yes.
Why don't you just tell a person that's sitting next to you one thing that God's done for you in the last year? Just reach out to someone and say, hey, God did boom. And praise is communicating what God has done for the world to hear. Now, as we come together on Sundays, what we do as we first get together, we have praise and worship. And today we had that taking place. Praise is talking to each other and reminding ourselves what God has done. Praise the name of Jesus. See, it's telling each other what God's done. Is it right to praise? Amen. It's right to praise and remind each other. Remember when God, it's an appropriate thing to praise the Lord for his goodness, for his kindness, and for what he's done. But the real intimate thing that God's really after is that third level, is we go into the holy place, to the place of communion, the holy of holies. And if you can think of three circles and one inside each other, the outer one is our body, the middle one is our soul, which makes up of our mind, our emotion, and our will. That's where we live. We live in what we think. We live in what we feel. We live in what we do. But that inner circle, that's the place where God connects to you and I. And that's our intuition, be able to hear and receive and know what God wants. Our conscience, understanding the difference between wrong and right. And that place of communion, that intimacy with God. You cannot have true worship without his presence. And it's right for us to give thanks. It's right to praise. But really, the heart of God really wants us to learn how to worship. And worship is not something we do in times of excitement and victory. It's we do it whenever we need God to do something again. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and verse 24, it says that God is spirit, and his worshipers, how many want to be his worshipers? His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. That word spirit is the word pneuma. It actually means breath. It's where God dwells. It's breath. It's what we need, the breath. And that spirit is connecting our spirit to his, and we are acknowledging and the wonder of who he is. But truth does not change because of circumstances. Truth is truth no matter how you feel. Amen? Truth does not change because you lose your job. Truth does not change because your taxes were higher than you thought, or they had to pay them at all. Truth does not change because you get a bad report from the doctor. Truth does not change because a relationship is strained and not doing so well. Truth is truth. Two plus two is four, no matter how you feel. That's why we like math, because it doesn't have to do with our feelings. And truth does not change. And truth is what also says it sets us free. And then when we respond to truth, the truth of God, that's where true worship comes. A little side note, there's a difference between happiness and joy. And a way to help remember this, happiness comes from happenings, things that happen. You're not going to be happy about everything that happens. Anybody want to say amen, brother? I mean, things that happen are not so great. This week at my house, we had a sewer problem. I'm trying to say how to say this delicately. And they had to dig a big hole in our yard. And put some new parts in. That's sufficient. It only was $3,500. I wasn't happy about that. Happiness is so fickle. Happiness goes up and down with the slightest whim, but joy is a gift of God. And joy does not have to change because circumstances change to the negative or the positive. And we have a tendency to thank God and to honor Him when things are going well. I mean, folks, the truth is the heathen even thank God when things go well. I mean, you've heard people that certainly are not followers of Jesus. When something happens that's good, oh, thanks be to God. Well, they're not really doing what they should be doing, and that's worshiping when it doesn't happen. I had a real precious experience this week. I say this very carefully, and I'm going to do it as best I can, but one of my kids got themselves into a little bit of a difficult situation. And they needed some help. And so I was able to dig them out of a hole that they had put themselves into. It was their own mistakes. And I'm working on this and helping them, and I began to weep for joy that I get to be able to do this for them. And I'm weeping, and as I'm working on this project, and the Lord speaks to me and He says, if you feel that way, well, how do you think I feel? Had a new revelation of God delights to dig you out of your problems even when you put yourself in them. Amen. That's a loving God. And that should produce deep and true and pure worship. Worship is not a feeling. Worship is not because. Worship is who. Now, it's interesting that worship is both a noun and a verb. The word worship of noun is worthy, excellence, excellence of character, high regard and respect. It's a noun. It's a name of something. It's worship. But worship is also a verb. And verb is action. Verb is doing something. Verb, you have to be involved or it's not worship. And I think it's very interesting in Scripture when it talks about this, it says to pay honor. Now, when you pay something, something leaves you and goes somewhere else. When you pay for your groceries at your grocery store, something leaves you a whole lot more than used to leave you. Something leaves you and it goes somewhere else and you don't have it anymore. It goes to them. And the Bible says we're to pay honor, to do something. I want to say this very lovingly and very gently without any condemnation. But when you come here and you just watch people praise and worship, see, that's not it. It takes your involvement to be a worshiper. And God calls every one of us that believe in the name of the Lord to be a worshiper, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship is not observing. Worship is doing something. We pay. It's going to cost you something. We pay honor. We pay. And it says that we're to give him the sacrifice. It's never a sacrifice if it doesn't cost you something. We don't throw in a dollar. That's not a sacrifice. And so I just want you to think for a moment about paying worship, paying to God honor, to do something that's action-based. We don't worship because we worship who? And you can be a worshipful person in the midst of a very difficult situation. In fact, I want to say it's the quickest way to get out of that difficult situation is to be a worshiper in the midst of it. We don't worship when victory comes. We worship on our way to victory. Now, here's a really interesting concept, and I just want you to think about it for a moment. We don't worship because we have victory or even answers to prayer. Now, we should respond to answers to prayer appropriately. Amen? But that is not just the time to worship. Worship should be going on as you're still looking for answers to prayer and believing for answers to prayer. But worship is no matter what, he is worthy. Two different times in my life, I've done well with this. Now, I don't want to come across like I'm always doing this. I'm not. I'm learning. This is something I need to grow in as well. But two different times have been a major event in my life, and I'm grateful for how God helped me. I, in the past, directed a fairly large ministry called Daystar. We had I had 100 staff in several locations around the United States. In November of 1989, our headquarters caught fire. I'm knocking my door about midnight, and this person informed me there was a fire on the roof. We quickly got up, and it was a pretty extensive fire, so we got everybody out of the buildings, about 100 people in the building. We owned another building across a city street, so had everybody go over there and make sure the person that lived next to you was there so we could make sure everybody was out. And that's kept on burning. It burned for 60 hours. It made national news, largest fire in Indiana's history, and literally lost everything. I just finished writing a book on Tuesday, and the fire happened on Thursday, and I lost every copy. Every copy, because it was on 6 different computers, and they all were burned. All my notes, all my research, didn't have a Bible, didn't have a note. You know, you could buy more clothes. You could buy more furniture. But there's some things you never can buy. Janelle had made me a bookmark for my Bible out of a little flock of her little beautiful blonde hair. And she wrote on it, "This is for you, Daddy." She was 3 when she did that. Had that in my Bible, that was one thing that I was going to keep the rest of my life. And it burned. So a pastor friend of mine in town, we didn't have anywhere to go because we live there. So we went down there the next morning, and the fire is still burning. I mean, they're still putting a lot of water on it. And so I'm the leader. I got to lead. So I stood up in front, and I said this. I want everybody in the world to know what I think about God right now. Let's worship. So we worshiped for an hour. Now we took turns crying and worshiping, then crying, and then crying and worshiping. But our response, and it was still burning. We didn't know the extent. We didn't know how much for sure was going to burn up, ended up to everything, but we didn't know that. But I'm very grateful that God taught me to worship in the midst of the fire, literally. That's true worship. As we don't wait to a victory, we worship on the way to victory. And I want to declare to you, when you worship like that, you'll find victory much more quickly and much more completely. The second time that I think I did pretty well, my first wife, Joyce, got a very cruel, nasty disease called Alzheimer's in 2012. And I cared for her. My goal was to care for her the rest of her life. It got to the point where I was not able to do it on my own because she needed 24/7 care, and she was dangerous to herself and others. And so I had to put her into a facility. I'd go visit her every day. And Joyce changed. She became mean at times and tried to break my finger. And it's hard. We were married 49 years. Love of my life, and it was a struggle. She never saw me down, never saw me discouraged. I'd say goodbye, then I'd go out in the car, then cry. Then I'd say, okay, God, I got to have some of this that I need. And what I did was I worshiped. That's true worship. I hadn't had the victory yet. In fact, she passed away in 2018. Actually, that was victory, because right now she's looking down on us walking on streets that are gold. She told me many times, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have long red hair and play the piano. So I think it's what she's doing right now, playing the piano and stroking her hair. Worship was not when I had victory. Worship was on the way to victory. And if we can grasp this concept, oh, I want to encourage you that it will change how you deal with situations. See, maybe stuff at work is just tough. Maybe your boss is just anything else but nice. Maybe your coworkers are just not all that upright. You get stuck with stuff. Maybe it's just things that you don't want. I understand. But it hasn't changed God nor his worthiness. Truth is still truth, even though people are jerks around you. He's good. He's worthy. No matter what. Now, what do you do if good things do happen? I want to add another word to our three, Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. I want to add a fourth word, celebrate. It's celebration time. Many times, it's time to celebrate. My grandson's basketball team made it to the state tournament this year, so I went down to Coos Bay, And I was there to encourage and yell and support them all I could. And oh, there were many times when my son's team, and especially when he did something that was awesome, and there was a lot, I celebrated rather loudly. Yeah. It's okay to celebrate. It's appropriate to celebrate. It's appropriate even to celebrate the goodness of God. But worship doesn't require a good thing to happen before you worship. Amen. As we worship in the midst of our dilemmas, we worship because of who He is, not just for what He's done. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3 and verse 17. The Bible says, though the fig tree does not blossom or bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Now we need to understand what's happening here. This was talking about Israel, the nation of Israel. See, they couldn't work for a company in those days. They couldn't go get a job with, you know, a company that produced. All of them were involved in something had to do with agriculture. And this particular verse that I just read listed everything the entire nation did for income. Everything. And this situation they're discussing here or defining here was as bad as it gets, worse than we have. Let's look at it again. Well, the fig tree does not blossom, and there are no grapes, not a few grapes, no grapes on the vine. And the olive crop fails. See, olives were so important to them. It had significance in their lives. Olive oil, plus the olives themselves, and plus even the plants. Grapes were of major importance, and figs were just so significant to the nation. And then it says the fields produce no food. How much food? Not a bad crop, no crop. This was not a good situation. And there were no sheep and no cattle. This was a bad situation. And then it says, yet I will. Let's say that together. Yet I will. Yet I will. See, worship is also a choice. You have to do something to make a choice. Yet I will. And the word rejoice there is the Hebrew root, alaz. It actually means to jump for joy. That looks like action to me. Here they are. They're on the verge of bankruptcy. They don't have anything to eat. It's in a dilemma. That's in a hard situation. And it says, yet I will jump for joy. And then the next verse says, I'll be joyful. And that's the word gul, which means to spin around. That sounds like action. That looks something like there's things going on. We're jumping and spinning. And I think they had a few words to say as well. So what qualities are you grateful for of God? What is it that you think of that, oh, just brings you to worship? I've listed a few here on the screen. See what you think about my list. First of all, he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. There's none before him. There's not after him. He's the chief cornerstone. Everything that we have in this world is based upon who Jesus is. That brings about worship. He is the good shepherd. What kind of a shepherd? Now, sheep are stupid. Really stupid. I've worked with sheep, and I want to tell you they're stupid. But when a sheep has a shepherd, they do fine. When a sheep has a shepherd, they thrive. That's why he says, I'll be it, and I'll be your good shepherd. He also says, I'll be your deliverer. Sometimes deliver from yourself, deliver from your bondages, deliver from your, I don't know what to do, deliver from your places you even put yourself in. I'll be your deliverer. And then he's my rock. He's the same tomorrow as he was yesterday. He's a rock. He doesn't change. He is the forgiver of our sin. Anybody glad for that? If you're not glad for that, you're not awake. Anybody glad that he forgives your sin? That is a reason to worship. He's a forgiver of sin. He's the living stone. He's Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's the light of the world. You don't need any other light except him. He is the light. He's our Savior. He is faithful and true. He is wonderful counselor. He's the giver of grace. Anybody need grace? He's the giver of grace. He's the anointed one. He's the almighty. He's the Lamb of God. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the bread of life. He's the resurrection. He is the peace. He's the word of life. He's the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus. Let's stand to our feet and respond to this because he's worthy. He's worthy of our worship.